hearts and souls and let you know that as much as we're capable of, we want to thank you today for everything you've done and everything you're going to do in this service this morning. Lord, help us to keep our minds on you and focus on your word. And we're going to praise you for what you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, how exhaustible are God's resources. Give you an idea of the difference between what we call riches and what God calls riches. If you were a billionaire, if you were a billionaire, any billionaires? If you were a billionaire, you could dish out $10,000 a day. Keep this in mind now, $10,000 a day. It would take you 274 years to get rid of the whole thing, to empty your account. Now, are there any takers? You want to empty your account? The problem with this is you would never get rid of the money, but you would run out of years. Just to put it in perspective, you couldn't spend $1 billion in your lifetime if you spent $10,000 a day. That would be $70,000 a week. Couldn't do it. The federal government would come down here and check on you. But since we run out of riches or we run out of time, one or the other, that's what happens. In fact, let me give you an idea here of what I'm talking about. Since I just read this at a funeral just this past week, let me share it with you because you'll recognize it. Here's what it says. If you want to know how important it is that you know you will run out of time, the days of our years are 70. How many is that? 70. Now that's an average. Some of us have already exceeded that. And it goes on to say, and if by reason of strength they be 80. How many is that? 80. Some of us have already exceeded that. That's good. We're talking about the average. So it's somewhere around there. If you live to be 80, it says, yet is your strength, labor, and sorrow. In other words, the older you get, the more problems you have with your body. Is that true? For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now that's a healthy look at your life. The unhealthy way to look at your life is that I'm going to live forever. And the only way you're going to do that is if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you leave here and go on into glory. You have eternal life there. But here, we don't have eternal life here. This old body that I'm talking about, oh, I have eternal life now. My promise is good today as it will be the day I leave here. But my body, my physical body, is not going to be here forever. Verse 12, so it says, so teach us to number our days. In other words, teach me to know that one day I'll be leaving here. I'm going to be gone. And here's the reason for it, and this takes us into the message today. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now that's not your wisdom that he's talking about. We're not that wise. I've got to apply my heart to the wisdom of God. I apply my heart to this. Then I'll know really how to live for the years he gives me on this earth. So, we're going to run out of time, or we're going to run out of money, or we're going to run out of both. Doesn't make any difference. Only Christ has the inexhaustible wealth with everlasting life. Only. If you think you're going to get a longer life down here by taking more vitamins, you might help yourself, Sean. And I hope it works, because I take them every day. I've given you all a list of the things I take, and it took 30 minutes, I think, to give you the list. I take all those things to try to help my health be just a little bit better, but am I going to keep me here any longer than the Lord wants to keep me? No, but I might feel a little better. If I think so, it's okay. Just let me stay in that frame of mind, okay? Don't tell me any different. I hate it when I've taken something for years and somebody comes on TV and says, don't help a bit. I say, well, thank you. But God has a plan. Isn't that good? I'm talking about his riches now. I'll get to preaching in a minute. Right now, I'm setting you up. Okay? God has a plan. He has a plan that will not fail. My plans fail. I've tried to keep myself healthy, and it just doesn't work all the time. We've got folks absent today that are not healthy today. They wish they were, but they're not. But God has a plan that will not fail for our economic security and our eternal security. Now, how many of y'all want to sign up? Sounds good to me, don't it you? Our economic security and our eternal security. Well, let me share the scripture with you so you'll know what we're talking about here. In Luke chapter 12, verse 33 and 34, he says this. If you want economic security, here's how you're going to get it. Sell that you have and give alms. Sell it and then give it away. Are you with me? And give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. And he's telling us where to put our money. He's telling you where to set up your next bank account. Set you an account up in heaven, he says. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. He says, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. In other words, you don't have to worry about somebody hacking your account and taking the money out of it. Nobody's going to hack your account in heaven. When all the people you want to the Lord, nobody's going to take any of them away from you. You've already ushered them into the hands of God. How good is this? If you help a soul down here to have a better life and you help them out by the treasures that are in this precious word here, nobody will ever hack that and take it away from them. Nobody can take it from them. Nobody will take it from you, and nobody will take it from those you share with. Promise you. That's what he's telling us. This is a fail-proof bank account in heaven. And he says in verse 33, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is more important to us, our physical, our material, or our heart and soul? Mark it down. That's what's more important. Now, since he's telling us this, he's telling us also in Ephesians 3:8 this. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. And this is how Paul thought about this. He says, unto me, who am less than all, least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul counted it a blessing to be able to share the gospel of Christ with other people. And it wasn't because he was a preacher. It was just simply because he got saved on the road to Damascus one day, and he took the challenge to reach as many people as he could before he left this old world. And what he was sharing wasn't money out of his pocket. It wasn't food from his pantry. It wasn't clothing from his closet. What he was sharing with them that meant everything to them was the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. The inexhaustible riches of Jesus Christ. So according to this, your finances might be tight today. You don't have to raise your hand, but your finances might be tight today. But remember this, how rich you are in Christ. You say that's two different things. One of them has to do with my real world I live in. By the way, I got news for you. This world is not the real one. The real one is there because it never goes away. If it were real, it wouldn't go away. This life down here goes away. The real life, the eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ, if we could just get thinking as Christians, more eternal than temporary. That's where we need to get ourselves. And to get yourself there, you need to pray a lot and read a lot. Get as close to Him as you possibly can, because that's where our eternal life is. But He says here, if you want riches down here, He said, here's how you get it. You get it by winning the lost at any cost. Be willing to give up everything down here so that you can win a person to Jesus Christ. Most important thing you'll ever do. You may give to the Boys and Girls Club out here. You may give to St. Jude's. You may give to the Niswonger Children's Hospital. You may give to some other good functional entity down here. But folks, that's not the most important thing you're going to do. I know we get our names on plaques. We get trophies for doing good deeds down here. But I'm not talking about a good temporary deed. I'm talking about something we do for someone that will last forever. It's the inexhaustible riches of Jesus Christ. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to remember today how rich I am. Will you do that with me? I'm going to give you some things to think about, and you're going to think of how rich you are in Jesus Christ. Our riches are shallow as they can be. You say, but I'm fixed pretty good. According to my profile at the bank, I'm good for a good 40 or 50 years after I retire. I'm just really putting it on now. Oh, things look great for me. If you're not careful, you get like the rich man who said, I've got everything I need to get. I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater because I've really got it made. Be careful about thinking about that. I'm glad you've looked after yourself and you're comfortable with where you are. That's great. I'm not belittling that. I'm saying be very careful, because Satan does like to move in where we feel comfortable and great. He likes to move in and get us to thinking temporal instead of eternal, and God wants us to think eternal. So our riches are shallow, and pretty soon you'll see the bottom. Not you may see the bottom. You will see the bottom, because that gets less and less. But God's riches are bottomless. They're deep. They're so deep. And we need to think more deep. We need to live more deep. Let's just look at these verses of Scripture that I read to you and pull out some things that have to do with the riches of God. Now, wisdom just may not be the top one on your list. But according to these verses of Scriptures, God has unsearchable wisdom. He has inexhaustible wisdom. I think I've learned all I can learn. I'm looking for heads to start moving like this, because none of us will ever get to where we think there's something new is going to come up every day. I don't care how long you live, something new is going to come up. That ought to give us a hint as to how much there is out there to know and learn, of which we can't see the bottom. We can't see how deep it is. All we can do is wallow in the fact that God has unsearchable wisdom. He has inexhaustible wisdom. So when you think that you're where there's no more learning for you, I got news for you. There sure is. And if we'll listen to Him, we'll find out more about His wisdom that will affect our lives. You see, God rules and orders in all things. Now, the reason he can do that is because he has all the wisdom. If you knew everything, I just know a little bit about a few things. But if I knew everything there was to know about everything, I could tell you how to do your job. Because I would know. And I'm looking around this congregation to every one of your faces, and I know every one of you do different things. Every one of you do. There's probably not two people in here who could raise your hand and say, oh, I do the same thing he or she does. You may be in the same field, but you don't do the same thing, and you don't do it the same. I'm saying that we don't put out the rules and the orders for this life down here because we're not wise enough to do that. God rules everything. When you go to work in the morning, God's in charge of you. When you start your job in the morning, God's in charge of you. He has all the wisdom. You say, but I know how to do my job. Well, how good is that? Somebody else will do it here in a few years too. Amen? Just a smidgen. It's just a smidgen of this life down here, folks. Just go do it. Be happy. Get your paycheck and go pay your tithes and then go pay your bills and have a good life, right? Somebody smiled. You're scaring me. So now we know that God rules and orders in all things. And he brings about, when he does this, he brings about his own purposes in all of these things. He has a purpose. We can't know that. In verse 33, he said this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments." Now, that's a new word. I'll give it to you in just a second. "Judgments and his ways past finding out." In 34, he makes this little statement. "Who hath been his counselor?" Has anybody counseled God for anything? Are there any takers in here? Would any of y'all like to counsel God on what he's done or what he's going to do? I don't think any of us in here would want to do that. But he's the one who has everything in control because he created everything. Everything is his. Nothing belongs to us. We just live in a world and a system he created. God's wisdom came from no other source but him. If I have any wisdom at all, I got it from my daddy, maybe a little bit from my grandfather, my grandmother, my mom. Got a little bit from her on how to act crazy. But I've got some wisdom that come from different people. I've got preachers that I've known for the last 50 years that I got some things from that I would count wisdom from the old men. Now I'm that old man that some of the younger preachers are looking up to. I never thought I'd be the older preacher in this area, but I am now. And that's okay. Maybe I can share a little wisdom with some of the younger ones. But everything we do, we get wisdom from others. He says, if somebody saw you doing your job and they said, hey, I can tell you how to do that easier. I did that 30 years ago, and that's the same way I did it, and I found out how to do it for this way. And you do it, and you say, wow, why didn't I think of that? Because you weren't wise enough. But that man found it, and he shared it with you. And I'm saying to you that God got no wisdom from anyone else but himself. He is his own wisdom. And so how wise is he? It's inexhaustible. That's what I'm saying here. God's wisdom came from nowhere else but himself. God needs no advice from us. Amen? Amen. Let me know you're here. He makes no mistakes. I know that's a t-shirt. You've seen that on a t-shirt. God makes no mistakes. Sometimes if they saw me, they'd say, yeah, he did too. But God makes no mistakes. We know that. Folks, in what I'm just reading to you and telling you, you can have faith in that. If you ever wonder, what in the world do I have faith in? Do I just have faith that there's a God in heaven somewhere? I've never seen him, don't know he's there, but I have faith in him. Is this some kind of mystical faith? I'm telling you, you don't have to have a mystical faith. You can have real faith. Real faith is in the fact that there is a God in heaven and that he has all knowledge, he has all wisdom, his judgments are correct, everything about him is right. You can have faith in that. And if you want it, it's right here. You don't have to look into some spiritual realm to get that. It's all in his word. So have faith in that. Trust him that whatever he says is the right thing, it is the right thing. Read his word, and if he says it, it's true. I've also seen that. God said it, and I believe it, and that makes it so. God said, and that makes it so. Doesn't make any difference what you think about it. It is so. I like the fact that I believe it, but that's not what makes it so. Amen? So he says you can have faith in the fact that God knows exactly what he's doing. He has all wisdom. All wisdom. There is nothing that you could know that he doesn't know. It's unsearchable wisdom. Next time you think about whether you should obey God or not, what he says right here, next time you think if you need to obey him, just know, yes, you do, because he's telling us this from perfect wisdom, inexhaustible, unsearchable wisdom. He's telling us this. So I can look to him, I can have faith in him, I can trust him, and I can obey him because I'm obeying perfection. I'm not going to obey somebody that I don't know is totally correct. Are you? No, I'm not. But I'll obey him because he is totally correct. There is nothing about him that's not right. So he has unsearchable wisdom. The next thing he mentioned was unsearchable knowledge. Now, that's a little bit different. Let's take a look at it and see what he says. You see, because everything is naked before God. When you were a small child going to church, your Sunday school teacher told you that God sees everything. And you could just see God in heaven looking down on you. And everything you did, God was looking right there. Well, it's a little bit different than these two big eyes from heaven looking down on you. Everything is naked to God because he has all wisdom. He knows everything, even before and after and in between. He knows it all. So he sees everything. Everything is naked and open before him. He sees all things. That's his knowledge. Now read 33 and 34 together without stopping. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who? Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Wants to know. This writer wants to know. Has anybody ever given anything to God that he used? And I would say to you, no, has not. Now, I want to share this with you. This is scripture that you know about, but I think it's high time you heard it again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, watch this. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither. Can anybody here today make it rain or make it snow? And if you could, let's say you could you send it back up? Folks, I can't say what I really would like to say because I'm not wise enough. I don't have enough knowledge. But I serve a God who can send down rain and snow and take it back up. But watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud. I can't do that. Boy, do I love watching things come forth and bud in the spring, don't you? I love it, love it, love it, love it. I've got folks that supply me with wildflower seed because they know how much I like to dig up the soil and sow it and watch it come up. I love to see that. I can't do that. God does that for me. That it may bring forth and bud. Oh, listen. That it may give seed to the sower. Not only does it bring it up and make it bloom for you, he'll make it become seed so you can use it again and again and again and again and again. It never quits. That's my God. It'll be seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He takes it right to the table. So shall my word be. Whew. You want to know where his wisdom and his knowledge is? He gave it to us. He gave it to us. I'm holding it in my hand. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Do you think I know it's doing something right now? Do you think I know the word of God is doing something in your heart right now? Yes, I do. Because his word is not going to return unto him void. Somebody here today is listening, you're focusing, and you want to know about the wisdom and knowledge of God, and you're taking it in. It's not just a passing moment on a Sunday morning that you can go away and say, I went to church. This is a time when you're listening to him. He's given you something of eternal wisdom and knowledge, and he's saying, take this and use it. It'll be good for you, because he says, it shall not return unto me void. It's going to do what it's going to do, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy. When you take it in and listen to it and experience that wisdom and knowledge that he's given us in his word, you're going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. When you start driving home this afternoon from your church, you're going to remember this scripture. You're going to look at the mountains and you're just going to hear them singing. You're going to hear the trees clap their hands because, you see, everything knows of the wisdom and knowledge of God. We just got to recognize it as human beings down here, know that what we know is nothing, but what he knows is everything. And what he gives us is all for our life. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And we, not the mountains and the trees, we sit holding our hands underneath our legs so that we can't give him in our hearts a hand. I'm not talking about literally clapping. You don't have to clap. You don't have to. But folks, quit sitting on your hearts and your souls and look up and give him glory and praise, because everything he has is for you. It's inexhaustible riches. It's unsearchable riches. It's every bit just for you. I say let's bow our hearts and get on the knees of our souls. Look up and thank him for what he's done and what he is. We only touch the surface. God's knowledge is deep and unsearchable. The Bible says, who hath known the mind of God? Who hath known the mind of God? And you would have to say, no one. No one. But if you're a born-again child of God, he has given you the mind of Christ. That's so you can see His mind. That's so you can see in His Word what He's really trying to give us and tell us. If you're looking at it from where you went to high school and college, and you're saying, I'm smart enough to understand that, you're not going to get it. That's not where you're going to find it. You're going to find it in the deep researches of your heart and your soul, where He's saying, this is where I want you to be. This is a spiritual thing. If we're going to worship Him, we're going to have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship Him with the knowledge that we've been able to build up with what we've learned in this life. It's not going to be. So if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's not going to be from knowledge, your knowledge. It's not going to be from what you have read from this Word. It's when that Word grabs you with the Holy Spirit turning your soul upside down and saying, I want to put something in there that you don't have. Is this message too far out? Is it like a Studebaker? It's beyond its time. And how unsearchable are His judgments? You know, knowing this, I can look forward to the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to be there one day. Not judged as to whether I'm saved or lost. I'm going to be at the judgment seat of Christ to receive the rewards for the deeds done in the body as a born-again child of God. How good is that? Amen. Did He look forward enough to see that one day we'll stand before Him? He did. And He's planned it all. It's all out of His wisdom and His knowledge. Everything that He's prepared for us that we read in His Word came from Him not a long time ago, in eternity. There's no time involved. His judgment will be perfect. When I stand before Him, I don't have to worry about what He's going to do to me. He's going to look at me and from His perfect knowledge and wisdom and judgment, He's going to look at me and He's going to know everything I ever did, everything I didn't do, and He's going to judge me. It's not about my saved soul. It's just that's what He's going to do. His judgment will be perfect. I can rest assured that He's not going to judge me imperfectly. He's not going to. He loves me. He loved me before. He loves me now. And He'll love me then. And He'll give me exactly what I get. His judgment will be perfect because His wisdom and His knowledge and His judgment is perfect. But there's something missing here in this message. You didn't notice it, did you? That's because it's in verse 31 and 32. I kind of fooled you a little bit, not on purpose, but I want you to listen to verse 31 and 32 because God has the thing we need most, which is His unsearchable mercy. His unsearchable, inexhaustible mercy. I don't know about you, but I know how much I've needed His mercy. I can't speak for you, but I sure can speak for myself. Here's what He said. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Do you ever wonder why John 3:16 is the most favorite verse of all verses of Scripture? And it is. John 3:16. Because what does it say? It says mercy. It cries, it screams mercy. Are you saying it to yourself right now? I'm giving you time to say it because you need to see mercy in there. For God so loved the world, mercy, that He gave His only begotten Son, mercy. That if we would just believe on Him, mercy. That we wouldn't have to perish, mercy, mercy. I deserve to die. Because of the sin in the third chapter of Genesis, I deserved hell. I deserved hell. And he looked down and he saw me in his perfect knowledge and wisdom and judgment. And he said, if you'll just believe on my son, Jesus Christ, you don't go to hell. You don't have to die. I died for you. You see, he didn't create us to die. He didn't. He created us to live. That's why he wants everyone to live. That's why he provided Jesus Christ as Savior. How much mercy do we need to know about here?